armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
try
any
to save
idea?
The pump up. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Have any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
Listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports.
Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. LeBron James is getting the business from a no-name from the Grizzlies. What?
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American.
The All-American. Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? A Thursday, a thirsty Thursday, a day where the Atlanta Braves are off a much-needed rest as they come back from the left coast. Their eight-game winning streak ends, but a lot of good things came from the loss yesterday. I think there's a very good chance that's the last time we see Marcelo Ozuna taking a bat in Atlanta Braves uniform. We'll see, but I would just be shocked if he's on the team going forward. He was given another chance, and I really feel like the more and more that you watch this unfold, do you not get the sense that when they put him in to face Hader, it was of the, at that point, Snicker and the rest are saying, we've given him every single opportunity. Can we get rid of him now? The man's hitting what, 0.85 or whatever the heck is ridiculously bad batting averages right now. Michael Harris should be ready to come off the IL tomorrow. That's the only thing that would maybe keep Ozuna on the team a little longer. And you got to be getting closer for Travis d'Arnaud to be coming off the 7-day IL. He's been on that 7-day IL for about 11 days now. So you got to figure at some point he'll be coming back. And the Braves in general, I just think, needed the day off to kind of sleep in, get some rest, get ready for what is a pretty big week in Braves country. You've got the Houston Astros coming in tomorrow. We'll have the game here on Braves Country HD. If you haven't liked us and subscribed to YouTube yet, please do so. Braves Country HD. And we're also going to bring you the Saturday night game. So Friday night and Saturday night game against the Houston Astros doesn't get any bigger than that. And if you were going to say it gets a little bigger than that, then it would be next weekend when we head to New York to take on the Mets. So a really big week, 10 or so days here in Braves country. And in between, sandwiched in between those two series is the Miami Marlins, who, let's face it, they are a scrappy team that's playing above their heads right now, but those sometimes can be the most dangerous teams. Now, this thing about Dylan Brooks is absolutely hilarious. He comes out and talking about LeBron James. I don't care. He's old. Until he puts 40 on me. Until someone puts 40 on me, I don't worry about respecting them. Okay, first of all, and you know I'm not a LeBron James supporter. Never have been, never will be. But for Dylan Brooks to be shooting his mouth off in a series where they just got beat in game one, losing home court advantage. let's just calm down with the whole bashing LeBron James. First of all, he did hang 28 on you. Shot like 50% from the field. You didn't exactly shut him down. So what in the heck are we talking about, Dylan Brooks? But anyways, more on that later when we talk about some NBA when Joey comes on. And we've got Steven on the way, Doug on the way, going to talk some Major League Baseball, going to talk the NFL draft. We're going to talk about bus, potential bus, and we're also going to get into a little NASCAR. And also in the NFL draft, guys that we think are going to be of high value, guys that might be going a little lower, but if you can grab them, they should be able to help your team out immediately. So we'll have fun with that. And the Braves go into this. Now, the Mets did win. So the Braves go into the weekend. They will be two games up. Honestly, they'll be one and a half or two and a half up. Because the Mets are at the Giants tonight. The Braves are off. So the Mets will gain or lose a half game. Nothing Atlanta can do about that tonight. That's kind of a tough test for the Mets. They do have Kodai Senga going on the mound, who's been pretty good. They're going to be going against Sean Manaea. So, I just think that's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to really come down to who plays the best defense, who doesn't make the errors, who doesn't give away runs. It's in San Francisco. So, I don't know if that's much of an advantage at this point now that the Mets have been out there for a few days and would have had the time to travel up the coast from Los Angeles. So, I will say this. It's normally chilly in San Francisco. When you're talking about San Francisco in April and you're talking about a night game, probably going to be dealing with some chilly winds. Not that they wouldn't be accustomed to that from New York, but as far as the winds are concerned, most likely a low-scoring game, which really plays into San Francisco's game. So we'll see what happens there tonight. The other things that are pressing in the world of sports, you've got, obviously, Fernando Tatis coming back tonight. That's a big one. He's been gone for, what did the Sports Flash say, 563 days? 563 days? Jeez Louise, that is a long time. Remember, he had the injuries that kept him out, and then while he was rehabbing to come back from the injuries, he got popped with the 80-game PED suspension, which lapped over into this year. 60 last season. I was actually surprised by that because they've changed the rules on this. Used to, when a guy was coming back on that comeback trail and he gets popped for the suspension, he was not allowed any kind of time served. It would have started from then. And if that were the case, if they did not allow from what he was doing down in the minors back then, before they changed these rules, Tatis would be out until basically the end of May. But the way the CBA reads now, they kind of get around some of that stuff. So any way you cut it, he comes back tonight. He's going to make that Padres offense much better. And then, of course, the other big thing, Draymond Green suspended for game three tonight. Now, it's in Golden State, but they've been flat out outplayed. They have flat out been outplayed the first two games, and they had Draymond Green. And now they don't have Draymond Green. They are at home. They're very dangerous in that area of possibly going down three games to none of the Kings. And I had the Kings upsetting in winning that series, but I did not see it unfolding. I did not see them going up 2-0 going back to Golden State. So that's going to be a big game. No way in the world I'm staying up for it. It's 10 Eastern. Yeah, right. But I will be interested to see what happened when I wake up tomorrow. I mean, I know what I'll do. I'll put it on as I'm going to sleep, and I'll probably check the score as I'm fading in and out of sleep. But I'm not going to get too worked up and bothered about what's going on there. But I believe, if memory serves me correct, I believe that their next game is going to be this weekend, and it should be, well, before I say that, let me double check, because I just know how the NBA likes to do things, like to stretch things out. Yeah, they stretch it out all right. So are they playing on Sunday? Is that when they play? Yeah, they'll play Sunday afternoon, 3:30. So I'll try to catch a little bit of that. Braves versus Astros will be going on. Plus, I got some plans to do some things. So we'll see how that goes. But I do want to dial into that series. But all in all, the games that I'm interested in tonight, NBA-wise, they both started incredibly late. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Doug is with us, Steven's on the way, and we are going to get into some Major League Baseball. We're going to get into some NASCAR and the National Football League. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
I'm bad at sex. There's a lot of thrashing and thumping, but nothing really is done. I'm like a broken dishwasher.
Armchair Quarterback Radio. We cover the world of baseball from start to finish.
Baerga is 0-3. Left center field. Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship. A lineup off Nagy's glove into center field. The Florida Marlins have won the World Series.
Brocious fittingly with a throw, and the Yankees have done it again. Number 24. They are the world champions of baseball in 1998. Change of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2, bottom of the ninth, game 7 of the World Series. Bases loaded. Third, center field. The Diamondbacks are world champions. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Armchair.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Take the scenic route in the new Hyundai Santa Fe, the family SUV with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you travel way off the beaten path. Find new adventures together in Hyundai Santa Fe.
Hey, sports fans, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country. With Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Thank you for the Montes and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, thank you for Boogity, Boogity, Boogity. Anyway, Boogity, Boogity, Boogity. Anyway, it's the drivers and news from the night. Oh, no one to thank you from the smoking hot
pot. Welcome back. Boogity, boogity, boogity. It's about that time. Steven's with us. Doug is back from the IL, 7-day IL. And I'm starting to think he was on the 7-day IL, possibly with the concussion. He's got the shades on. Yeah, everything okay there, Doug? Did you have eye surgery as well?
Well, no, it just, when my gallbladder went bad, one of the things that comes out of it is it turns your eyes yellow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And nobody needs to see that right now. That's why I got the shades on.
Fair enough, man. I'm digging it. We have kind of like a, you know, a cool jazz vibe going on. with you in the shades and Steven and his long hair. You know, we might bust out a riff here in a second. Yeah. Steven, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing great as always. Got baseball again today. Can't be better.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Chris Sale finally looking like I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's back by any stretch of the imagination, but he had a good game today. They're up, 10-1 in the bottom of the sixth. I'm glad I took the Red Sox on the money line this morning at a -125, so that's going to pay out nicely. I think we got a couple other day games. I want to say the Yankees are about to start, aren't they?
Okay.
I believe I'll pull it up in a second. I believe that they are around 4 o'clock because I think it's a getaway day for both teams. Kind of a light slate. We do have some NBA and NHL going to go on. Before we get to any of that, let's get into the NASCAR. Last Sunday, Martinsville Speedway, Kyle Larson gets the W. Logano, Truex Jr., Hamlin, and Briscoe were your top five. What say y'all? Did y'all get a chance to catch that race?
Yeah, it was pretty uneventful. I mean, so the pole sitter Ryan Preece led the first 136 laps. He only lost the lead because he was speeding on pit lane. Then it was basically Briscoe, Hamlin, and Harvick just kind of rotating for the lead the rest of the way. And they basically once you got the lead, the only time they lost it was if there was a caution or something happened, which didn't really happen that much. So, I mean, the changes they're making to the car are not really translating well to the shorter tracks. But we got Talladega coming up this week, and man, that is gonna be fun.
Yeah, Talladega, it doesn't get any bigger than that. What time is that one? Around mid afternoon, 3:30, something like that.
Yeah, 3:30.
Okay.
Yeah, Doug, you from Martinsville.
What's that?
No, just like Doug, what do you think about Martinsville?
It's like you said, what I saw of it, it was kind of a plain Jane race. I wasn't impressed. And like you said, the one thing that came out of it for me is the short track programs are terrible with this car. Mm-hmm. That's about all, pretty much what I got out of it.
Okay, so you know me, I'm a novice NASCAR guy. I follow it to a degree, but nowhere closely as y'all do. Is Christopher Bell really leading the point standings?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Yeah.
Wild.
Playoffs as well.
I don't know anything about him, but I mean, I recognize all the other names, but Christopher Bell, that is a new one for me.
He's just been super consistent, so far this season, and that's why he's in first. I mean, he's, what has he got? I don't know his stats, but I know
five, top five, six top tens.
Yeah, he hasn't finished. I don't think he's finished outside the top 10 but once this season, I think. And then consistency rewards.
And of course, this right here is your list of folks that have already qualified for the playoffs with the W's. What do we have? Is it seven drivers already? Okay.
Yep.
Larson, Byron, Bell, Reddick, Logano, Busch, and Stenhouse.
And I mean, you got Larson and Byron sitting up there, both of two wins each, only drivers with about that number. And they're both they're both Hendrick drivers.
Yeah.
Really just a testament to how good that team is.
Is there any advantage to having the most wins going into the playoffs? Do they give any kind of advantage or no?
I haven't found any advantage. Maybe Steven has, but I haven't seen any. I haven't seen anybody go in with 10 wins and just guarantee themselves a championship.
For the actual playoffs itself, it doesn't matter, but it really doesn't matter. So, I mean, see, like, if you're winning that many races, you're not worried about being on the cut line anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So, give me your win, place, and show this weekend for Talladega. Start with you, Steven.
Man, this is like Talladega is one of those tracks. It's anything. Like, there's so many accidents. There's going to be chaos. I don't know if I can do a win show place, but drivers I'm looking at Bubba Wallace, Ricky Stenhouse, Austin Dillon, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin.
Doug, what about you? You got a win place and show?
Give me Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, and Christopher Bell.
All right, I'm gonna go Busch for show. I'm going to go Keselowski for place, and I'll go with Joey Logano for a win. So in correct order, it would be Logano, Busch, and Keselowski. That's how I'll go. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the NFL draft. I'll go ahead and get that drawn up here. Haven't seen Doug in a while. Doug, are you hearing anything new on the Raiders' outlook for their top pick?
There are three kind of scenarios that we're looking at right now that everybody's talking about. One is it'll be a draft day thing. Depending, there's a rumor out there saying that they I don't believe it, but the Texans aren't all up about getting CJ Stroud. And supposedly D'Amico Ryans is maybe looking to take the edge rusher, William Lear or whatever his name is, instead, which would put the Raiders in a position that they would instantly on draft day move up to number three and take Stroud at number three. That's one scenario. Two, the one that I would prefer is at number seven, just taking the best defensive back that's out there, whether it be Witherspoon or Valdez, I think it is one of those two, or maybe even Joey Porter. Or number three, I just say we need as many picks as we can possibly get. I think we've got 10 or 11 picks. Trade back with somebody who wants to move up and grab a couple more picks. That's what's going on with the Raiders. That's the big debate right now.
I've been waiting to ask Steven this for a while. What are the Dolphins plan on doing with their first round draft pick?
Sitting on the couch and having a beer.
Folks who don't know, first of all, Steven's a big Dolphins fan. Second of all, they don't have a first round pick because they were naughty. So that's the short of it. It is really weird when you see the projected order and then you just see it stop at 31 names. You're like, what in the hell is going on here? That is the let me get this a little closer. It's a little get it a little more jammed in there so you can see the teams better. Top we'll cut it off at 13. All right. Any way that Young is not the number one pick overall?
I don't see it. Nope. Bryce Young is number one.
Would you take Young at number one?
Yes, I would. Yes.
Steven, what about you?
No, CJ Stroud is my guy from this class.
I agree. I would be Stroud. The only thing I don't know about Stroud are the things that we would never know because we're not in those rooms during the interviews. And that is, you know, his kind of character and whatnot. And maybe that's why Young is leaped across. I have heard some rumblings about there's some concern about CJ Stroud and his commitment to the game. I don't know if any of that has any merit whatsoever, but if it does, then okay. I can see that being the deciding, you know, if you're concerned with, if you go all the way back to what was that, the 98 or 99 draft when it came down to Peyton Manning versus Ryan Leaf. And of course now it's laughable to think that there was ever a question, but there was a real question at the time. And one of the things that kept coming out was the fact that Peyton Manning was such a student of the game, was in loved football so much, and they didn't think that commitment was there for Ryan Leaf. And come to find out, that's exactly how it played out, because Peyton Manning kind of invented being almost too studious, right? And Ryan Leaf, I see he's got a podcast now where it really gets me, where he sits up there and tries to act like he's holier than thou and tells you that he's, yo, I'm shooting the truth to you. Dude, you were caught just a few years ago stealing copper wire out of someone's house because you were on meth. You got a meth addiction. So what in the hell are we? Hey, forgive me if I don't want to hear you get on your soapbox. I saw it. Is that 2 days ago? I think it was TikTok. And there was a video, and he was going on and on and on about how Bill Polian was lying about him, and this is what really went down. I was like, I don't know if anything you have ever said is going to be true. So I think I'm going to believe something Bill Polian said that he can no longer defend, as opposed to you. Anyways, anyone have any qualms with AR-15 going above either one of those quarterbacks?
All of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
I was just being that vast minority, and it's really strange because he's a Gator. You wouldn't think I would be anywhere near this as my opinion, but I kind of like the upside of AR-15, and I'm going to be fascinated to see where he goes.
No, he has all the upside in the world. I mean, the kid is one of the most athletic quarterbacks I've ever seen. It's just if you're thinking about a top 10 quarterback, you're drafting someone you're confident that can at least get into that system by the first, second year. I just feel like as an actual quarterback, Richardson's a little bit farther out than that.
Overall, I mean, if you look overall at, I've only seen him play 1 year, this last year. I mean, he's got a 57% completion rate. It comes off to me he's another Florida quarterback that can't throw. I mean, like you said, he looks like Lamar Jackson from the neck down. I just wonder if, I think it'd take a long time to get him to where he could complete a pass in the NFL like Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he's got all the intangibles in the world. But taking him in the top 10,
I guess my pushback on that will be Trey Lance went number 3 overall, and I think he's a much better prospect than Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance was a huge reach. And they're saying now that folks are actually reaching out to San Francisco for trades to Lance, and I'm like, dude, if anyone give you anything, you should jump on that.
Well, with Richardson's, I'm just saying, if you take him in the top 10, he's a bust only because you're taking him 1 through 10.
Okay, I'll do you one better, because they're basically ranked 3 and 4 or 4 and 3, depending on who you look at. Are you more in the Richardson camp or the Will Levis camp for being the number 3 quarterback overall?
I would put Richard. If you're forcing me to put one over the other, then yeah, I'm taking Richardson or Levis. Levis, I want to throw him in a dumpster fire and toss it in the ocean. That's
that bad, you mean? God. What did Kentucky football do to you, Doug? Point to the ball and tell me where it hurts.
Well, last week, right here, but we'll, No, I'll take Richardson 1,000 times over before I even look at Levis.
What say you, Steven? Are you a Richardson?
Definitely give me Richardson in that battle. I don't know if I'm throw Levis in the dumpster, hater, but I mean I'm not even thinking about him first round, not even second round.
The reason I'm such a hater on him, you know who he reminds me of? I'm talking about his attitude, because he's already made several NFL GMs mad. He's a lousy team player. Already there's rumbles about him and that. He's not the greatest human being in the world on top of that. And when he was at the combine, he's up there doing this YouTube video about, literally looks into the camera and goes, I got a cannon for an arm. And I'm like, you know who the last person who did that has the same attitude? If anybody remembers who Jeff George was.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that
first
same.
First of all, Jeff George was not playing football during the YouTube era, so I'm going to have to push back on that. There's no way that's true.
It's just he's got that same rub everybody wrong attitude. He's got a great arm, yeah. Where's Jeff George at? Jeff George was probably one of the greatest lemon you-know-whats that I ever saw not play football, if you want to put it that way.
You know, with Levis, the reason why I'm down on him is because he came into 2022 with a lot of hype, and he had a couple of good games at the beginning of the season against lousy teams, but he never did anything in big moments. Specifically, I think of in the Tennessee-Kentucky game, which was supposed to be this great shootout. It was supposed to be Hooker versus Levis. We were supposed to get this, you know, incredible show, and he didn't show up. And it's not like Tennessee was winning football games last year because of their defense. And that's one of my biggest concerns with him is, you know, is he a stat padder? Did he do most of his damage against the Louisvilles, but yet when he went up against Georgia, he never really did anything?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest pushback on that. I'm still going to stick with my original. I think Stroud's the best quarterback in the draft. And I'm going to put AR-15 above Young. And the only reason why I say that is he's just so much bigger and so much more athletic than Young. I would roll the dice and take the chance. I would figure out a way to make him dominant. And Bryce Young, I mean, I'm worried that you got Doug Flutie 2.0 over there. You're going to have a guy that can barely see over the damn line of scrimmage. There's very few Drew Brees is on this planet, and he's about Drew Brees' size. So I'm a little concerned about that. When they say, oh, but, you know, look what he did in college. Yeah, but when he was at Alabama, he was always the best player or had the best players on the field. He wasn't running for his life. The offensive line, we all know the Alabama offensive line is just an absolute monster. The receivers that come out of Alabama, enough said. I mean, you can rattle off all the Pro Bowls the last couple of years that are all just littered with Alabama receivers. I have a hard time buying that Bryce Young is better than Stroud, who was very impressive. I was on the fence about Stroud, but that performance he made, he did the performance that Stroud had against Georgia in the playoffs. Where, look, if that kid hits the field goal, it's probably Ohio State winning the national championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a phenomenal game by Stroud. I never saw that from Young.
Yeah, I mean that game was just one of those like signature moments, and I mean like just kind of you knew watching that game that kid is a stud, and it's. He just has that it factor that I don't see in at least Richardson.
I'm just really surprised that Stroud or that Young is already decided as the number one pick. I'm surprised that that is the route that they went. But it looks like that's what it's going to be. And to the victor goes the spoils because
I mean,
he's sitting pretty with Stroud at number two.
I mean, like, would you put it past another team to have leaked what they were planning to do and in hopes of trying to like get teams to try to trade up?
Yeah, I just if I were Carolina, I guess where I'm getting at. If I were Carolina, I wouldn't have made it so obvious that that's where I'm going. I would have left a little more drama to it.
True,
because. You might have had someone sitting out there thinking. Okay, let's just say, for instance. All right, I'll give you an example. There's a rumor that Tennessee could be trading up with Arizona for the number three pick, right? Well, what if they were? What if that was started because they thought that they had an outside chance at Young? Well, when you already go ahead and put it out there, that kind of kills all that. They might have traded with you. They might have traded with you, or they might have traded with you wanting Stroud, and you could have traded back and still gotten Young. If you're sitting there at the number one pick, it's just I don't know. To me, it's like they've already shown their cards, and we're only halfway through the hand.
Yep.
Well, I think with the Bryce Young thing, Bryce Young kind of did it himself when he canceled all the rest of his visits right out of the blue. He canceled everything and basically went home, which pretty much telegraphed that he knew he was going to be the number one pick.
Well, if you think that's goofy, C.J. Stroud was in Atlanta. Was it yesterday or today?
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta. Visiting with the Falcons?
Yep.
The Falcons are not going to get C.J. Stroud. There's just no way in hell.
No.
What if they're one of the teams that's going to trade up?
He's not going to. Yeah, but the thing is, it's pretty well known that's not the MO of the front office of the current administration for the Falcons. They're not planning on trading up.
Just let me imagine C.J. Stroud throwing his Drake London and Kyle Pitts for like 2 minutes.
I can understand if they traded, or excuse me, if they interviewed AR-15, if they interviewed Levis, those guys feasibly, although they probably won't, they could feasibly fall to 8. C.J. Stroud is not falling out of the top 5.
Yeah.
No.
And for all the stuff where people talk about, because I've heard some questions about his character, he showed up. He talked with Atlanta. There's a lot of guys. I mean, heck, what's his name? Jalen Carter said that he wouldn't interview with anyone outside of the top 10 because he felt like that he was a top 5 pick.
Yeah, well, one of them trades up into the top 5. He's just, man.
Right, but what I'm saying is
this opportunity.
He's not interviewing. He did not interview with anyone, did not fly into anyone's camp that's currently outside the top 10 pick, which I thought was incredibly stupid on his agent's part, because you don't know who wants to trade into the top 10 to talk to you, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could be sitting there saying, well, I'm not going to waste my time with the Washington football team. Well, what if they're planning on trading up to get you? They think you're a piece missing. Dude, we're talking about life-changing money. They're paying for your flight. Go. You're going to eat like a king. Go. You're going to get to do other things we can't talk about on air. Go. What are you, dummy? All right, let's take a real quick break when we come back. Major League Baseball. We'll be back in a flash. We're going to talk some Reds, some Marlins, some Braves. Oh, my. Be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
As coaches, we failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends. Now, their fat little girlfriends have some obvious advantages. For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are and how easy it's going to be.
Welcome back. Clippers and Suns tonight. Series tied at one apiece. Big game in L.A. And of course, you got Draymond Green not going to play in the 2-0 deficit at home against the Kings. Better watch out there. All right, let's real quick, because I don't think I technically got to it, though we kind of beat around the bush on it. Give me a bust each that you're not, name Will Levis, Doug. Give me one each that you're looking at in the NFL draft, Steven.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear the one I was going for, Anthony, the R15.
Okay. Doug, what about you?
I'll throw one out. We weren't, you know, all we've been talking about quarterbacks, Miles Murphy, the defensive tackle. Don't take him too high in the first round. I wouldn't take him till maybe the third round.
The third round?
I don't like the guy. I watched his tape. I watched his combine. The guy's got no footwork.
You do another YouTube video? What happened there? What's going on? Third round?
I'm saying like late. I was saying late second, third round. If I'm in an even worse mood than I am right now.
Wow, that's an interesting one there.
I just Miles Murphy. I mean, I guess you could say maybe feast or famine, but what I've seen on tape, I'm on the famine side of him.
I'll tell you the one that. I'm on the fence with that. I don't know if he should be going as high as he is a Lucas Van Ness out of Iowa. Don't get me wrong. He's good. He's got size, but I don't know if he's got that speed for the NFL to be going as high as he's going. I mean, there's some people that are projecting him top 10.
Ooh, no.
And Dalton Kincaid, the tight end out of Utah. Pro Football Focus has him ranked number 15 overall. I don't know if I'm buying that.
Mm-mm. I mean, it's very – I mean, like, how many tight ends truly go in the first round?
And this guy's a senior, and all I'm going to say is if he was that good, wouldn't we have seen him in his junior year?
Exactly.
And this is probably COVID senior. So what is he, 28 years old at this point? I have no idea, but – I'm not buying the hype on a Utah offense that always looked terrible. All right, let's go ahead and get into Major League Baseball. Steven had an interesting topic, and I want to make sure you clarify this before we get into it. You were talking about aces, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically, what was the statement that you were making about Major League Baseball aces?
So, I mean, basically with the – I mean, so like so far what I've seen, you know, especially in the top five of the pitchers we saw drafted this season, I mean, like you got Sandy Alcantara, Corbin Burns, Aaron Nola. They all have been getting hit hard this season and really not been striking out batters anywhere near the pace they were. Mm-hmm. Corbin Burns, like he's at, like this year is an 18.6 strikeout rate. Sandy's at 19.20% for Nola. I mean, like, the one thing I'm seeing is because of the shift, they're really having to change their strategy up a little bit. And I think the one thing that's really killing them is that they're just getting hit. Like, everything that they're throwing in the zone is getting hit. I looked at all three of them, and, like, their zone contact rate, that's the percent batters make contact on pitches in the zone. They're all 85 plus, 10% over what their their career average in last year. There's some pitchers I'm kind of like Sandy. I'm a little bit worried about. I don't know if he can get back to what he was last year. Corbin Burns, all the other underlying numbers look great to me. And same thing with Aaron Nola. It's just basically driving home the fact that it just was a terrible year to draft a pitcher early. Like between him, Verlander, DeGrom's hurt now.
Okay, I misread it. I thought you were saying that there's a lot of aces, but you're saying that there aren't many aces.
I'm just saying, like, aces have been hit. Like the pitchers that we have come to expect as aces have been not performing as aces this year. And it's like I feel like it's been a higher rate than usual.
Oh, here we go. There's breaking news. Kawhi Leonard is out for tonight.
Ooh. Him and Paul George?
Sprained right knee. Are you serious, man? Dude, man up. It's the playoffs, man. So no shot in hell of them winning that game now.
Now, to go along with what was Steven saying about talking about aces not playing well, what he was talking about with these pitchers having seemingly they have to play with the strike zone, so to speak, I saw that even though he's not an ace, of course, but I was watching the Reds the other night with Lodolo getting blasted by Tampa Bay the other night. And the way he was pitching, he had to send a lot softer pitches in that strike zone, which Tampa Bay, the way they set up their lineup for that game, was just waiting for that. And I've seen now below par pitchers and average pitchers. I've seen that in several games where they're not aces, but they're playing with that strike zone a lot more. Lodolo did it a lot in that game earlier in the week. So I can validate what he's saying. If the aces are having problems, and you're seeing it with other pitchers as well. It's not just the aces. It just shows up with the aces because, you know, they're not playing at the levels that we expect them to play.
Well, maybe they're just not using enough goop on their hands. Like,
it might not be.
Like Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was another example. I just didn't feel – I didn't want to get into that. But no,
he's playing dumb. Oh, I didn't do anything. Yeah, right. First of all, anyone that comes out, did you see the comment he made where he said, I'd have to be pretty dumb to do that in the top of the fourth inning, da-da-da-da. Dude, anyone that starts reasoning like that, they are guilty as hell. He thought he figured out a way to get around something. I don't know what his line of thinking was, but anyways, long story short, they busted him. He's not the first or last pitcher to get caught cheating, but he got busted, and I guarantee he's going to get suspended for a hot minute. I'm thinking, what, 10 games?
At least.
I think that is the standard minimum now.
Yeah, because for a starting pitcher, it would just mean that he'd miss two times through the
rotation, yeah.
And so you have that on the horizon, and if you're a Mets fan, you will then be spending $80-something million dollars to one guy who will be suspended for, I don't know, 2 weeks, we'll call it. And then the other guy hasn't pitched for you yet. Justin Verlander still hasn't hit the mound.
I mean, between the two of those, like two pitchers combined, they're basically spending $1 million per year they've been alive.
What is Scherzer, maybe two or three starts at this point?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be talking about probably in the middle of May, them having four or five starts total. I haven't seen an update on Verlander in a while. I'm looking it up right now, but
there isn't anything recent.
I expected to throw a live batting practice session Sunday ahead of a rehab start next Friday. We're talking about 8 days from a rehab start, and you got to figure, depending on what he's done prior to this, I'm thinking at least two rehab starts. So that would take you, that'll take you into first week of May-ish, probably like around May 10th when it'll finally, and that'll be about the time that the Scherzer will come off. And they've got a big series next weekend as the Braves come a-calling to New York.
Yeah.
That's a shame. see who else we can get jammed up over there. I'd like to be going against nothing but David Peterson and Tyler McGill down the stretch. I still haven't seen it. It's still very unclear when Michael Harris is going to come back. They asked Snicker about whether or not he would be ready to roll during the homestand, which starts tomorrow night against Houston and will finish with Miami. And Snicker was very noncommittal. So what I thought was a done deal because we were reading some things on Monday that they were getting him ready for Friday. I don't know for that to be true now. So that's going to be but I'll tell you this, once they bring back Harris and once Darnold comes off the IL for the concussions, bye-bye Ozuna, bye-bye. They're DFAing his ass.
Uh-huh.
I saw something. It was you know, like the Marlins should trade Avisel Garcia for Marcelo Ozuna. Who says no?
I mean, I'll take anything for Ozuna at this point.
I mean, Garcia is bad.
He can't be as bad as Ozuna.
He's like about to be run out of town. He's been that bad. And Miami doesn't even care about baseball.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but yeah, he's running like a close second. Yeah,
what's he batting at this point? He's 6-for-40.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's twice as good as Ozuna. Ozuna's like 3-for-38, 39, something like that. I'll take him in a heartbeat. Let's go. Let's go.
He's 4-for-48.
This says Wednesday that he's 6-for-40.
To Ozuna?
No. No. Garcia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like those are Garcias. I'm saying Ozuna's 4-for-48.
Oh, heck. I thought he was still sitting at three hits for some reason. Oh, no, that's right. He did get a base hit the other day because I was making the joke that his batting average was skyrocketing to the Ozuna line because he was almost at 100.
18 million for four hits.
He is garbage.
Wow.
Someone shared something this morning or yesterday morning, and it was a statistic that this late in the season, only a handful of people have had 50% or higher of their base hit. I wish I had the stat in front of me, but it's 50% or higher of all their base hits this late in the season and with X amount of bats, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be home runs. And Ozuna's two of his four hits are home runs. And the five names that were next to Ozuna's were all like Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, that kind of stuff. And some Braves fan put it up and said, Ozuna's in goat territory right now. The one key factor out of that argument is the fact that Ozuna's batting average was much lower than everyone else. He's all right, man. He is just clueless at the plate. And he came in yesterday at the end of the game, pinch hitting against Josh Hader with the game on the line. And I was like, what in the hell is it? Dude, give me Eli White. He might get a broken bat that'll droop over someone's head. You know darn good and well Ozuna's going to do one of two things here. Three if the pitcher sucks. But if the pitcher's good, he's either striking out or it's going to be a can of corn in the infield. That's exactly what happened.
Sounds about right.
He is absolutely just awful. And they're just going to have to swallow that money. I know they've been really reluctant to swallow that money, but I think it's at the point now where Snicker and company can now look at the front office and go, guys, we've given him almost 50 at-bats, most of them against left-handed pitching. So he doesn't even have that excuse. And the numbers speak for itself.
Yeah.
And you can't even, like some of the other guys, you can't even say, well, you can put him in for defense or he can pinch run. He sucks at both of those too. The only thing he was bringing to the party was that he could hit the ball out of the park. Reds and Marlins playing pretty well at this point. I want to make sure we get into that before we run out of time here. Let me get them both on the screen. So the Marlins are sitting at 10-9. And the Reds 7-11. Haven't had a chance to watch the Marlins yet. I'll get that opportunity next week. But the Reds impressed me, Doug, in that series. And I know the Braves swept them, but they were all close games. A, I think their pitching's a lot better than I thought it would be. And B, their offense, top of the order, is going to be fun to watch this year.
Yep. And those are the things. That's what I was really hoping for. Because all those guys in that top of the order, they've all got, well, as of that game, they all had between 300 and 320 batting averages. Yeah, offensively, I'm really pleased what I'm seeing with these guys. It's just a shame that our pitching is good, but we can't finish games. So we're losing games like 3-2 or bigger games like 8-7, 10-9, games like that. So, but yeah, I totally agree with you. And so much so that I had said at the beginning of the season, this year is almost like a tryout year, you know, rebuilding year. And part of that's already been done with Hunter Green getting his re-signed him. Because you got to remember, most of those players that you're watching, they have no guaranteed contracts after this year. So it's almost becoming a case-by-case performance thing whether they get re-signed. Hunter Green just got re-signed. They just redid his contract. And supposedly within the next 2 weeks, Jonathan India, who's kind of played a lot better. You know, I know he had injuries last year.
I think that running on sentence was ever going to end. Real quick, as you walk us off, tell us about the Marlins because we're out of time.
Man, I like the Marlins have been impressive so far. They're getting on base. Look like the new additions are looking great. Pitching has been good as always. They're going to need the offense to stick with it to really keep this going.
Doug, feel better, sir.
I'm working on it.
Hopefully you actually, you know what? I like the shades, man. Keep them for next time.
Okay. All right.
I'll see y'all next week. Joey's on the way. We'll be back in a flash. We're up against time. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. It's a light slate on Thursday, April 20th in Major League Baseball, but tonight you do have Rockies at Phillies at 6:40, and the Mets are at the San Francisco Giants beginning a four-game series 9:45. This afternoon, the Twins are at the Red Sox and Angels at the Yankees. We'll keep you up to date on those scores. Later on this evening, Reds at Pirates, Dodgers at Cubs, and the Padres are at the Diamondbacks. In the Association, on Thursday night, we've got three games. Starting at 7:30 Eastern, 76ers at the Nets. Kings are at the Warriors at 10, with Suns and Clippers at 10:30. Those games can be seen on TNT and NBA TV. And in the Stanley Cup playoffs, four games on the slate. Lightning's at Maple Leafs at 7 on ESPN. Second part of that doubleheader is Kraken at the Avalanche. On TBS, they've got their own doubleheader. Rangers at the Devils, Jets at the Golden Knights. Those games start at 7:30 and 10 Eastern. Lions general manager Brad Holmes held his poker face during Thursday's media availability when discussing any specific plans for their draft strategy. Said the Lions aren't opposing to selecting any prospects who may create headlines. Brad Holmes said of Carter, Georgia defensive tackle, quote, "He came in and did a nice job. Again, it's always case by case. He came in, we enjoyed our time with him, he did a nice job. I'll say even after he left his visit, I felt a lot better about him," unquote. With the Lions holding four picks in the first two rounds, including picks 6 and 18 overall, Carter could very well be available in that top 10 spot on draft day. Holmes said the Lions have yet to identify a specific cluster of players they've liked at number 6, but the process has gotten closer. He called this year's class unpredictable, but will confide in owner Sheila Ford Hamp if the scenario presents itself when weighing character risks of players who've entered the draft. Arizona Diamondbacks designate for assignment Madison Bumgarner. The Diamondbacks will eat more than $34 million remaining on the veteran left-hander's contract. Bumgarner, who signed a 5-year, $85 million deal with Arizona before the 2020 season, has struggled his 4 years with the D-backs, posting a 5.23 ERA over 69 starts. Perhaps his worst outing with Arizona came Wednesday when he allowed 7 runs in 3 innings against St. Louis. Bumgarner, 33 years old, is owed around $20.4 million for the remainder of this year and $14 for 2024. And for 563 days, Fernando Tatis has not played baseball for the San Diego Padres. On Thursday, one suspension and 3 surgeries later, he gets to do that very thing. Tatis will make his long-awaited return on Thursday night in Arizona with his 80-game PED suspension at an end. Padres get the MVP caliber player back atop their lineup in right field, Tatis' new position with the arrival of shortstop Xander Bogaerts. Tatis, meanwhile, made it clear that he doesn't know what to expect. Quote, I'm just looking forward. I've really learned from what happened to me in the last year. I'm really looking forward to redeeming myself. And the Oakland A's have signed a binding agreement to purchase 49 acres of land in Las Vegas, which they plan to utilize as the site for their new ballpark. Looking to finalize a stadium deal by January of 2024, deadline imposed by Major League Baseball. A's team president Dave Cavell said the club is directing full attention to Southern Nevada. Quote, we have a pact with Las Vegas that we think we can work and has the support from the league, so we are really putting all focus in Las Vegas and the efforts there, unquote. Athletics hope to break ground soon and be in Las Vegas in their new home, new facility by 2027. That's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the screwball in all of us. Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com. Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly.
They've given me less than 1 year to turn this place around. Forget about the way it used to be. This is not a damn democracy. We are in a state of emergency, and my word is law.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
Welcome back.
Yeah, the armchair.
Don't worry, Braves fans. I'm still working on that trade with the Marlins that Steven offered up. Send Marcelo Zuna down there for Avisel Garcia. I'm here for it. Welcoming on to the show is Joey A. Joey, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic today. I was just reading an article, though, that just made me crack up, and I know it's from our longtime friend Peter Schrager over there at the NFL Network. This guy had the Houston Texans trading their pick to the Colts. So interdivision trade where we trade to Forrest Buckner in the number four pick and another round pick to the Texans for number two. Now, I have so many things wrong with that, but just
– Now, who was this again?
Peter Schrager from NFL Network. He's on the Good Morning Football.
Yes. Oh, man. But, one of the most punchable faces in television. Yes. I don't even know why, but I don't like his shtick. He just always, I don't know, man. I can't even explain why the hatred is there, because I don't know why. But I quit watching the NFL Network in the morning because of him. Because he always has a goofy take. And I don't know. He just seems like he ought to still be living at his mom's house in the basement eating peanut butter sandwiches and not on TV talking about football. That's just, I don't know.
but listen, I agree. When you put the Texans and the Colts in the same trade, to me that
makes just zero sense.
Yeah, you lose all.
Is he a fan of one of these teams? Is that his?
He was just saying he's just saying what he thinks is, you know, one of his predictions are, and he's trying to get cute with it. Bottom line is people are trying too much this time of year because they have nothing to talk about for the next week until we actually draft this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that if you're the Texans, because if the Colts were to draft the quarterback, let's say Bryce Young ends up being a bust, and let's say the Colts wanted, whether it's AR-15 or most likely CJ Stroud, and you do that, and he goes on for the next 10 years or so having a great career, and you're muddling around with Davis Mills and whatnot, you're never going to – first of all, actually, you will hear the end of it because your ass is going to be fired in about 6 months. But that you'll always have that hanging over you. That's why you don't see it's very rare to see division trades in the draft.
Yeah, I mean –
it was strange to me last year. Remember when the Lions traded up with the Vikings to get Jameson Williams?
Yep.
That was a strange one to me, mainly because Minnesota could have used Jameson Williams. Now, Minnesota are having a phenomenal year, so it's all going to be forgotten realistically. And the quarterback, the problem is the quarterback is like the most scrutinized position in all of sports.
Oh, by far. And I mean, like, I don't mean want to harp on it too much, but it just, these four quarterbacks or five, I'll even throw a Hooker in there for all conversation's sake. At the end of the day, we have
always no good idea. To throw a Hooker in there for conversation's sake.
Hands up. But no, in reality, just nobody knows. I mean, everyone, the quarterbacks have never gone 1 through 4. In a draft. Never have they gone 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's like, is it really going to happen this year? Because to be honest with you, I keep asking this question, is four quarterbacks projected to go so high because of team need or because they are that valuable? And I think it's mostly due to the team need.
Yeah, I just, the whole thing to me just makes, when you're there doing mock drafts, first of all, that's one of the reasons why I don't like doing the trade thing in mock drafts, because you can get really goofy at that point.
It gets weird.
I mean, if we allowed that, especially because we do this slow burn with all the different guys involved, it would get so confusing. By the time we got to the end, I hope to get to the end of the second round by the time this is over, but by the time we got to the second round, like one team would have like 6 picks. It would just, it'd be a nightmare.
I agree.
Tones would be making trades with the Buccaneers left and right. They'd have like 6 first-round draft picks.
He's making trades with my Colts and I don't even know about it. Unbelievable.
So we are going to the draft. Speaking of the draft.
Yes, sir.
Continue this slow burn draft. I want to make sure. And I didn't have time to look this up before we came on, so you're going to have to give me a second to try to navigate this. If you take the wheel for 1 second, I want to make sure one name is taken, because this is the Arizona pick is in, but I'm doing this via text from Bobby, who's the big Arizona fan. So if you take the wheel real quick and kind of go over the last, you know, 6 or 7 picks, I'm going to double check to make sure a name is still there.
Yep, no problem at all. Ooh, that music sparkles me. But let's go back then, take it to pick 25 with the Giants, taking Addison, wide receiver out of USC. That was the Giants pick at pick 25. Then they're in division rivalry, Dallas Cowboys, taking, I'm going to butcher this name a little bit, but Callahan Cansey, D-tackle out of Pittsburgh. Dallas needs to bolster the D a little bit, so that was the pick by them at 26. Pick number 27 of the Buffalo Bills was Zay Flowers, wide receiver out of Boston College. And actually, as I look back on this draft, quite a decent amount of receivers went left, and I might be doing that in my second round. Hint, hint, knock, knock. But we'll get there in a little bit. Number 28, Cincinnati, taking my guy out of Notre Dame, Michael Mayer. I love, man, if Cincinnati can end up getting him at that pick in the draft, to me, that's a steal because Cincinnati's already got a lot of the great weapons at receiver. You had that tight end. Number 29 at New Orleans took Brian Branch, safety out of Alabama. Number 30, the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFC representatives, took Jack Campbell, middle linebacker out of Iowa. And then at number 31, the Super Bowl champions, because remember all, we do not have 32 picks. It's 31 because Miami is a cheater, just like New England was. Division gets a little hostile. Kansas City took Will McDowell, edge out of Iowa State, and that takes us to round two, which we had the other day.
All right, so Jones from Georgia went to Pittsburgh, Downs from North Carolina went to Houston, and now the pick is in for the Arizona Cardinals. And I do have the pick from Bobby. And the pick is in, and he's going to go. I should have known it had been a homer pick. Osiris Torrance, offensive lineman for the University of Florida.
Get out of town.
Yeah, I was like, as soon as I looked that name up, I was like, "Are you seriously?" So going with the old fat butt Torrance for the offensive line, projected as a guard in the second round from Florida. 6'5", 722 pounds out of Florida.
That's a fun one to spell.
Yeah, he's
put it in the chat now.
Anyways, that is on your screen, and that and it's always funny because it's always telling me that I, you know, I've spelt it wrong. but anyways, it is your pick, and you've got the Colts. Where are you going? Is the pick in?
The pick is in.
By the way, we're 1 week away from this finally happening.
Thank the Lord. I don't know what else has felt longer.
Dude, if you think it's tough on you, imagine doing this almost every day, keeping up with everybody's picks, then I have to go back and recite them to them. I sent Bobby the picks yesterday, and I sent him, I don't know, the last 20 picks, screenshotting them. And then he's asking me if all these guys have been drafted. I said, I don't know. Read it. He goes, we don't have all the picks. I emailed you all the picks earlier last week. What are you talking about? You don't have all the picks.
That's why you got to print them, Bobby. You got to go old school and print it out, my man. That's the real reason why we got it. But no, you know, looking at.
He goes, I don't have the Braves Country Baseball app. Where is it?
Oh, my God. Come on, man. I got to give him a come on, man, on that one.
All right, where are we going with the number four pick in the draft?
You know what? Since, you know, we got Bryce Young early, we got the quarterback we want now. I'm going to give him another weapon and take Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver out of Ole Miss. Every year he's improved since he was in college. He started off with 12 catches to 27. Then his last season last year was 51 catches for 800 yards, 5 touchdowns. So it's Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver out of Ole Miss to
the Colts. Maybe the Mingo ain't your baby.
Oh, that's a good one.
If you don't get that reference, we probably can't be friends. Real quick on the scoreboard update. Man, Boston all over Minnesota 11-4. Although Boston spitting the bit here. They got the bases loaded in the ninth, but I mean they're up by 7. So you'd think they'd get out of that. Yankees and Angels just got underway. They are scoreless. Did you see the catch that Aaron Judge made? Was it last night or the night before we laid out in the center field?
Yeah, I saw it when he robbed Ohtani last night. Yeah, I mean, that's all they were talking about all week. Like it was actually a battle just between Judge and Ohtani. But hey, in that case, it ended up working out. One MVP robbing another. How wild is that?
I don't understand why everyone says that he can't play center field on the regular.
The dude doesn't even have to jump that high to rob a home run. He's already in pretty good position by the time he gets to the wall. And I mean, people are probably saying, he's not your prototypical like speed center fielder. Well, the way that guy takes steps and can move, he can cover a lot of ground in a little bit of time. So I think Judge clearly proves over and over again that he could play the center field position, not just for a game or two, but for long term.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break because we got a lot to get into, and I don't want to start something else before we get into that. Man, I was wanting to time this perfectly. Were we too far away from it? Eh, we got 30 seconds. We got 30 seconds.
I know where we're
going. I would play the music, but they'll tear it down and kick us off the YouTube. So never-
You'll get an email, I'm sure.
But if you're not aware of it out there, and if you haven't picked up on the fact that every place you stop off at, you smell a little ganja in the air, it is 4:20, April 20th, and it is now officially 4:20 on 4:20. Smoke them if you got them, baby. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country, Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Work is work. You don't show up late, you don't make excuses, and you don't not work. If it wasn't work, they wouldn't call it work. They'd call it super wonderful crazy fun time. Or skippity-doo.
It all starts with just one thing. Get to know your local beekeeper. You can make sure they don't use chemicals in the hive, that they only sell surplus honey, plus locally produced honeys have a smaller carbon footprint. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
The Armchair Quarterbacks are covering America's pastime from spring training all the way to the fall classic.
5-2 Dodgers in the ninth. Got him. They've done it. Like the 1969 Mets, it's the impossible dream revisited.
And Myers bringing it. And the pitch is hit in the air. Foul off first. Benzinger backing and calling. And the 1990 World Championship belongs to the Cincinnati Reds.
The Twins are going to win the World Series. The Twins have won it. It's a base hit. It's a 1-0 10-inning victory.
Both off field, way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a 3-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch the ball, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Armchair.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia. Welcome back. Joey, your Cubs have a big series with the Dodgers about to start up.
Oh, yes, they do. And you know, I know it was just the Oakland A's, soon to be probably changed up here, as you mentioned earlier on the show. But I am loving what the Cubs are doing right now. I mean, we just took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, sort of swept them in L.A. last weekend. Now we get a 4-game series starting up tonight. I'm really excited for it because the litmus test continues. But this young team in Chicago, they're playing some real good baseball on the north side.
Are you planning on making any of them?
Not this weekend. I went a couple weeks ago to a Rangers game. I think in May I have one scheduled against Cincinnati. But no, I'll be watching them all, though, just as always. I'm just looking forward to seeing them back at Wrigley. The weather should it's been up and down here with the thunderstorms, but they should be able to play today, no problem. They got a game at 7:40 with Tyon's on the mound for us tonight. So he's been up and down.
Don't they have Grove on the mound for the Dodgers tonight, I believe?
we could see a higher scoring game tonight.
Yeah, Grove is actually he's an interesting sample because he's actually pitched pretty well, but if you look at the analytics, like he's kind of had some bad luck so far, so that could be a lower scoring game. What is the weather like in Chicago?
It's like 65, but it's thunderstorms off and on every single day. So we get like a few hours of rain, then it goes away. We should be clear for tonight. It should just be cloudy. But now that I'm looking at, I don't know if the four-letter word website, I'm looking.
What's that?
Looking on just to get this start, which makes no sense because they're saying now that Javier, I think Taillon might have got scratched. According to ESPN, the four-letter word, they have Javier Assad starting when I seen Taillon all day. So I'm just.
Yeah, I saw Taillon as well. Did he get injured, maybe?
I'm looking into this now because, I mean, you know me, I'm a stream starter. Taillon was my stream starter of the night. So if he got pulled for some reason, oh boy, I got to figure this out.
He's on the IL.
Wow. That must have literally happened.
Taillon was placed on the 15-day IL. With a left groin strain. Old Pat McGroin got him.
You gotta be kidding me. I wasted a transaction this week on that. Oh my God.
It could have been worse. He could have actually started.
Hey, my Marlins guy got me the lot the other day. Thank God he came through, but I've been notorious at these pickups. But that just shows you, I mean, that's painful because his last start was pretty good. He actually faced the Dodgers. I was looking forward to see if he could do it again. But now we'll have to see Javier Assad, which he'll probably pitch a couple innings only.
Yeah, I would. Wow.
That's so mean. The betting odds is probably.
Oh, yeah. I tried to jump on when I saw that Kawhi is out for tonight. I tried to jump to see if I could get to it. Man, they'd already taken that game off the board. I was like, son of a gun.
Yeah, now they just – the website I'm on took the Cubs game off the board.
Yeah, that's always going to happen. They'll kind of reconvene, and then they'll go back and figure it out.
Well, I can't because I'm stuck with them now. So thank you, Jameson Taillon. Not saying this morning to the team doctors. Ay, ay, ay.
Well, look on the bright side. I'm not saying that there is one, but look on the bright side.
I'm looking out my window. It looks kind of bright. Good enough.
Pray for rain is what you need right now.
For real.
All right, well. Let's go ahead and dive into – we didn't get a chance to get into it the first segment. The National Hockey League.
Let's do it.
What series have you been locked in on? Because I've had two that I've actually been watching.
The two that I've kept an eye on, one's obvious because Tampa Tones is the Lightning and Maple Leafs, but that's just because – I'm pretty much forced to. No, but the series that I actually have really good interest in, and they did win their first game, is the Jets. I said the Jets would upset the Golden Knights as my upset of the, you know, hockey playoff, even though everyone's records are pretty close. But they took it to them the other night, and this is a big game for the Golden Knights because if they lose at home down 2-0, nothing's impossible, but Jets would be pretty hard to beat if they're down 2-0. So that's the other one I've been looking at.
You know, The Islanders, man, they came so close. And I know hockey's a lot different than other sports, but you hate being down 2-0. But they were so close last night. I really thought that they were going to pull that game off. They ended up losing that in OT. But the other series that I've really been locked in on – by the way, you know what I never saw last night? Because – I went to bed on the NHL scoreboard yesterday. Is who won the Oilers beat the Kings? Okay, I was asleep on that one. How about the Panthers taking out the Bruins 6-3? Who saw that coming?
Nah, I can tell you.
What's that?
I could tell you, certainly not me. See, I mean, all those goals, I was like, oh my goodness. Four in the third period.
Tonight, Rangers Devils is the game that I'm paying attention to. 7:30, the puck drops. Devils got it handed to them by the Rangers. I really think the Rangers are going to win that series. I told you I put the parlay down of Rangers and Boston Bruins on a parlay. I don't think that there's any way that the Bruins are going to lose a 7-game series. They played a bad game, and honestly, I think they came out and, as they would say, read their newspaper clippings. Not that that is a thing anymore. There's no newspapers still around, but I think they were kind of smelling themselves, you know, and Florida took it to them.
They'll get right back on their horse, like you're saying. And the Rangers, too, that's another team I've been keeping a close eye on because they got not only Patrick Kane, former Blackhawk, but Panarin, who scored a goal for the Rangers the other night. So that Rangers team is pretty hot right now. Devils got to win tonight.
Yeah, that's my bad. I thought I was sharing the screen the whole time, and I'm not. So let me get on that. I'm over here looking at the hockey scoreboard, and I thought –
hey, nothing wrong with the Braves country.
Well, I know, but I thought everybody could see what I was referring to. Instead, I'd look and go, wait a minute. Something's awry. So there you go. So there's tonight's action right there. 7 o'clock, 7:30. And then you can kiss my behind. You think I'm staying up for Kraken, Avalanche, Jets, Golden Knights. But I'll keep
you know what I do love about
I'm planning on watching Rangers doubles. The Lightning, I've got them as a part of a parlay, but the Islanders have to win too. And that was really bet with my heart parlay, so I took the Islanders and the Lightning. But I'm starting to think that the Islanders are just going to fall. They're losing all these games by one goal. You know what? Yeah. They don't give me participation trophies, so I don't think that's going to help me at all.
No, certainly not. But I tell you what, the one thing a lot of people say, and even myself says it sometimes, you know, when March Madness ends, it gets a little, you know, dried up. Yeah, it did for a week or two. But right now we got the best thing going. We got the start of baseball, so everyone's locked in there. You got hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs, which a lot of people like us, we watch the regular season, but we lock in during the playoffs. So there's so many games on right now. It's insane to try to keep up with everything that's going on.
Oh, it's impossible. That's why, you know, I used to try to keep up with all of them. And now I just say to myself, okay, I'm going to take about two in basketball and two in hockey and keep up with them each series. That's all I can do. Sometimes it's really only one. I mean, I'm realistically only locked into the Rangers Devils. I am watching the Islanders, but they're going to have to win a game for me to actually get locked into it. And then in the NBA, obviously Hawks Celtics, I'm paying attention to. And the problem is all the other ones that I'm really interested in are all out west. So the games are taking like they're starting way too late. So I'm not watching any of them.
And what's interesting to me on top of that is, look at how many stars have been injured. Tyler Hero, Giannis Antetokounmpo, but Giannis, obviously, Ja Morant. Now you look at Kawhi Leonard out for today's game. I mean, the stars are even getting hurt in playoff time now.
Yeah, how long is Giannis out?
He was a game time decision yesterday, so that makes me think he'll probably play game three.
Okay, because I don't think there's any way they lose that series, so they'll probably be very, very cautious. But I also think it would only take one more loss for them to start pushing them back.
Oh yeah, I mean, and now they're going to Miami. Where regardless, when Jimmy Butler and Spoelstra get to playoff time, that team does not mess around. So they're not going to win both games there. At best, it will be 2-2 going back to Milwaukee.
I think as long as they win game three, he won't play in Miami.
I could see it.
It'll give him a chance to, because you know how these NBA injuries are, especially during playoff time.
Right.
They're so cloak and dagger. You think some guy is about to play. You think some guy is about to play. The win ends up happening like you never see him. Like he could have, like his leg could have fell off, and they're never going to tell you about it because they don't want to give the other team the upper hand.
And it's just, I mean, you want to talk about the biggest killer. I know it's obvious, but they already have Paul George out the Clippers. They won that game one. And in game two, they were kicking butt at halftime. And then Phoenix made a run to tie it to go into it with a buzzer beater. But then they got blown out. Now without these two guys, I'm sorry, a Russell Westbrook-led team, as much as I like to see that guy regroup from his disastrous.
Well,
I
can see that series. Are you buying the fact that they're saying that it's a back contusion? So a bruise?
Not
a bruise is keeping you out of the playoffs. What are you, a banana? I mean, come on.
And he was having the best stretch of his career since really, like,
and you know what? If you are a banana, bananas are still pretty good with bruises on it. So, you know, come on.
Hey, you ever need one? I got you, my friend.
You better eat that banana quick. That thing's got a lot of spots on it. It's about to get translucent in about 12 to 14 hours.
It's getting destroyed in about 2 hours here.
There you go. If not, then throw it in the fridge. That'll slow down the process.
There we go.
I don't know if you ever do that. If you want to speed up the process, throw that sucker in a paper bag.
Keep it and put it under in the heat.
And that is your way too much information about banana report.
That's why they join us every day.
Buy whatever, whoever it is stealing the Oakland A's to Las Vegas.
Man, how about that though? We were talking about teams moving the other day, and we're like, we don't even have to talk about the A's because that's a no brainer. And finally, it came to tuition. It looks like earlier, huh?
I guess. Whatever happened between now and then in Vegas is going to stay in Vegas because the A's are staying in Vegas. They're heading that way.
Made too much sense.
So I follow this guy that gives all the baseball bets out there. And he's pretty good. I'm going to preface with saying that he's pretty good. He's usually spot on. But he fades the hell out of Nestor Cortez, the Yankees, and I don't get it. And I listened to him this morning. I was like, man, get the hell out of here. Like, as soon as I saw Nestor Cortez pitching, I was like, I'm not even listening to you because he fades every time. And, of course, he was like, oh, I'm going to take the Angels. This is a good time to take them on the money line. It's 5-0 New York right now. Cortez dealing. I think he's got a no-hitter going. I'm like, what is your deal, Nestor Cortez, man?
He does.
Oh, I think he's fun to watch, man. Like, what are you talking about?
You know, a lot of these divisions right now, too, in baseball, I mean, except for, like, the Braves, the Brewers are out in front. But in the National League, especially if we're looking at the Padres-Diamondbacks division right now, I can't believe it. I mean, it's only 19 games. But these Padres and Dodgers, who everyone expected to be hanging around late in the postseason this year, when are they going to get back over 500? I mean, my goodness, eventually. And I know that nobody's afraid of the Diamondbacks. It lasts forever, probably. But the Dodgers and Padres both being under 500 still is kind of – I mean, 20 games isn't a super small sample size.
Well, the Padres – first of all, I wish we would have gotten out of town before they decided to get a W. But the Padres are getting Fernando Tatis back tonight.
Oh, I did not know.
That's going to be a big, big get for them, obviously.
Yes, it is.
And
what's the Dodgers' excuse?
I mean, did they do anything in the offseason? I talked about this at the beginning of the year, the reason why I wasn't taking them to make the playoffs this year. They didn't do anything in the offseason. I honestly think they're going all in to go get Otani. Although there's talk about how he doesn't like playing in Dodger Stadium, which I don't get that because a lot of people just – every time they talk about Dodger Stadium, they talk about how great it is.
All right.
But I think they're going all in to get Otani. Because when do the Dodgers do zero, zilch, in the offseason? They didn't do anything.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, without a nice stretch from Muncy over the past like week and a half, I mean, when I saw them play, Freddie Freeman did not look up to par. Mookie Betts is having a decent year. But outside of that, their lineup is bland. And they're starting pitching. I mean, when you're relying on Clayton Kershaw, who did get his, you know, victory, which was awesome, and Dustin May's decent, but Syndergaard, Gonsolin's hurt. This team's broken in many areas.
Walker Buehler, they'll be lucky if he plays this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way Walker Buehler is pitching this year is if the Dodgers are in the thick of it in September.
Correct.
Because he got his Tommy John. The way the timeline lays out, he would barely be back in time. You're just not going to put him back out there. I don't see it happening. This team would have to be playing and playing well for them. Not just, oh man, they're going to grab a wild card. Let's go. Now this is Walker Buehler. They're planning on locking this kid up long term. They're going to let him do his thing. And they, you know, heck, the Dodgers have to look at it something else too. The LA Dodgers can take one on the chin. How many years in a row have they been in the playoffs and won the division? They can easily take one on the chin.
No doubt. And, you know, if they do want to do that with Buehler and they end up getting Ohtani, you could turn this thing around very quickly and be at that
top. Yeah, and if you're the Dodger ownership group or the management, if fans get all upset, go, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to be an Angels fan? Shut up. We might have to reset 1 year. We'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't be too upset.
We're still chasing our first championship since 1988. Because that bubble ship doesn't count. The bubble ship doesn't count. Do you hear me, Dodgers from 2020? Do you hear me, Lakers from 2020? They don't count.
Forget you, L.A.
I hate L.A. We hate it. All right, we'll be back in a flash. When we come back, we're going to talk about tonight's games and probably some bananas or, you know, other things. Maybe sing to you one more time. We'll be back in a flash here on Brave Country.
Got a beer? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
Armchair.
It's time to live, laugh, and create memories again with MSC Cruises. Join us on some of the world's most modern and innovative ships. Discover again at our new private island, Ocean Key MSC Marine Reserve, named Best New Cruise Destination. Cruise the Caribbean and Bahamas from Miami or Port Canaveral. Book now with free balcony upgrades and flexible booking changes. Call your travel advisor or visit MSCCruises.com. Restrictions apply. MSC Cruises, a world of discovery.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at OurDragonsMerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at rdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Armchair Quarterbacks on YouTube Live. We cover Braves baseball, Red Sox, Yankees, Rays, Cubs and Cardinals, and the rest of Major League Baseball every day. Your first choice for sports talk live from the First Coast.
How to improve your dining room by the Home Depot. New wood floors, new paint on the walls. Sure, you know us for that. But how about a new dining room table? Matching chairs? Bar stools? How about free and flexible delivery with easy online returns? Now you can explore decor in a whole new way. Save now on furniture. Everything for your home. Everything from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Limitations apply.
This helpful instructional message from the National Association of People Who Have Trouble Walking and Chewing Gum at the Same Time. Step, chew. Step, chew. Step, chew.
Why don't you go to church?
Let me tell you something. I practice being a good person every day, okay? I'm a decent fellow. I do good things. I always leave a big tip. If a squirrel runs in front of the car, do I not swerve? I'm considerate of people's feelings. Remember the plumber who came over with the big eye? I treated him like a completely normal person.
Welcome back to Braves Country.
a day off for the boys. Back at it tomorrow night, 7:20 first pitch right here on Braves Country HD. Find us on YouTube today. Like and subscribe. Then we're back at it Saturday night, 7:20. No afternoon tilt this week, as they are both night games Friday and Saturday night. And then next week we're going to be seeing the Marlins and getting ready to go to the Big Apple to take on the Mets.
Ah.
Meet the Mets, greet the Mets, come on out and beat the Mets.
Man, what a fun week. I literally cannot wait for next week. I mean, I know we're going to be talking about the 2 days I'm on here, but I just can't wait having a top pick, the draft, having great baseball. We'll get to all, but I'm hoping by
the time we're talking, by this time next week, this exact time next week, we will have breaking news that the Tennessee Titans have traded just in front of the Colts. Oh. And watch you spin out of control. What the hell?
You dirty son of a gun,
Let's go!
And then the Colts sign Cam Newton and everything's fixed.
The Colts grab, they grab Will Levis and Cam Newton as a backup plan.
You know, I do want to say one thing, because I listened last hour. I always try to listen to Mr. Raider Doug, who I'm glad was on the show. And then Steven, I'm not going to sit here and say Will Levis is going to be, you know, the next best thing ever since sliced bread, but I think we're giving him a little bit of an unfair shake. Listen, and 2 years ago when he had his really good season, he had a top receiver who he lost in the draft in the third down in Wendell. He had a top offensive lineman go into second round to a team. And then on top of that, he had a shoulder injury that he never fully recovered from during the last year's playing. So I know it didn't look great on paper, and I heard you even say he didn't have the big moment. No, he really did not. But I'm not going to throw him in the dumpster like Raider Doug was saying. I think he could still legitimately be a prospect worth looking into.
Yeah, you know, the thing with him is I don't necessarily think that he's not a first-round pick. I just don't think he's a top-five pick. And if I'm interested in him in the top – if I'm interested in Will Levis, I'm willing to trade back. Meaning, let's say the Colts are into some Will Levis. Man, I'd be trying to move back a few, because I think you could get something for your pick. I don't think Will Levis is going to go that high. So let's say that's where you're at. Man, trade back and get some more assets. And you should. And I'll tell you something else. Nobody's talking about this guy. Nobody's talking about this guy. But you tell me where the Tennessee Titans would go wrong by sitting where they're at the 11th pick and drafting Hendon Hooker out of Tennessee.
Oh, let me tell you right now, I would think that would be actually a pretty good move on their end. If he did not tear the ACL, and I know you can't ignore that, but he doesn't need to start right away, and Tennessee would be a perfect
learning because experience. You're not going to expect him to start anyways, because you got to deal with Tannehill walking around thinking that he's still a starting quarterback in the NFL. So it's a perfect situation.
And people kill me when they go, well, you got to look, he's 25 years old. If you get 10 good years out of a Hendon Hooker, who cares how old he is? If you can get 5 to 10 years, oh my goodness.
10 years from now? Yeah. 10 years? I might be dead. Let's go. Let's go for it.
Hey, man. I love. Thank you.
Come on. What are we doing?
We're
looking for the 23-year prospect. What are we doing here?
Exactly. No quarterback. I mean, look at Lamar Jackson. These running quarterbacks, you plan to get them on that first good rookie contract for 5 years. Then if you have to pay him, pay him. But let's get this thing.
The older I get, the less patience I get with my franchises.
My dad, it was funny, he said the same thing. He goes, the Colts doing a rebuild, I don't have time for this crap. Yeah,
exactly. What am I gonna do? So I looked into remember we were talking about the YouTube TV and they're wanting you to sign up and whatnot,
right?
Do you realize that $100 discount is up front? So whatever they're charging, 278, whatever it is, opposed to 378, I think that's the number. I might be off by $10 or $15. They want that up front. They want you to pay that in June. you want a Tennessee Titan or an Atlanta Falcon fan to pay almost $300 after taxes in June to watch that?
I mean, they're,
if they don't care to grab the number three pick, no way in hell, buddy. Not going to do it. I'll go red zone and I'll be fine.
And it's like, okay, I understand everybody wants their buck at the end of the day. But, like, what are you getting? Like, what are they going to provide us from June to August? I guarantee you we ain't getting inside the locker rooms of every team and all this cool coverage. They're probably just making you pay so they make sure they lock in a certain amount of subscribers.
Well, that's what they're doing, and they're saying, you know, there's no refund. I get the no refund thing.
I don't
care about that. What I care about is they want the whole thing up front in June, when I'm not going to get the product until September, October, November, December. What? So if I do it the other way, I'm paying more, but I'm paying per month.
Well, I was going to say they're being a little smart. They're trying to probably say, hey, you know, if you buy in this time of the year, you could, you know, hey, you're only paying $20 a month instead of that 50 or 60. It's like, no, nobody's going to watch June, July, or August anyway.
If the economy was a little better and I was a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, right? Yeah. As we sit right here in this economy, and I'm a fan of a team that is a very good chance of being in the top 10 in the draft again next year, I don't think you're going to get that out of me.
No, and you're not going to get it out.
The Jaguars are actually going to be free where I live, and they're going to be pretty darn good this year.
That's the only team that's taken any progress in the AFC South is the Jacksonville Jaguars, because they actually have a franchise quarterback.
And I'll get that for free. So, like, what are you trying to get out of me, NFL? I'm good, man. We good.
We got our workarounds.
And there's enough dark web action out there that you can usually find a way around it somehow. But I don't think there's enough interest on my side to care about this. Once I saw, because it's one thing if they say we want you to commit in June and you'll start paying X amount, but let's say it's $40-$50 a month going forward, right? And by the time we get to the end of the season, I'm not giving you the whole banana. Just like you showed me a second ago, that's a bruised banana you're giving me right there, man.
Surprise!
I have Tannehill up there and, you know.
I'm actually on the phone with YouTube TV, right? Oh, wait, that's the banana.
So you're telling me I got to give you all the money up front and I got to find out. I got to give you all the money up front to watch Tannehill and Ritter play quarterback all year long. I'm good, man.
Oh, my God. Keep the money, people.
I'm good, buddy.
I know NFL's king, but come on, sheesh.
Anyways, I found that interesting that
it's not only June, it's June 6th. Oh my God, they're trying to steal your money in 6 weeks.
Yeah, they're trying to do it before D-Day. It's ridiculous. Yeah, if you open up the app on your TV, there's an advertisement for it, and you go in and click onto it, and you see all the specifics. I was like, what? You want $300 by June to watch two crappy football teams by the middle of fall? Oh, man. I think the red zone will do me all right.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll be kind into it because of my Colts, but I'm interested.
Okay, but the difference might be is that the Colts may have a franchise quarterback they just drafted, and you'll be right.
You're
sitting there with Tannehill and maybe even have traded away, because those rumors are trading away Derrick Henry. What in the crap am I going to watch?
Oh, I totally agree with you there. I was just going to say, the only fun part about restarting and getting a young rookie quarterback, you have no expectations on wins. You're truly watching for fun progression.
And then the Falcons, it doesn't sound like they're planning on drafting a quarterback, so they're going to wait to see how Ritter matures, and that's fine. He may turn out to be a decent quarterback, but that team's not going anywhere this year.
This might sound crazy.
I would say that division's wide open, so they've got a puncher's chance to at least make it interesting into November.
If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I take a hard look at Hendon Hooker if he's available at any point where they draft, if I'm being honest. I'm the
Atlanta Falcons. I go and get Lamar Jackson and be done with this nonsense.
You said that months ago.
God.
It makes too much sense. It's the perfect. They went with Mariota last year. Lamar Jackson's a million times better version of that. You could let Ritter learn one more season. If
I heard a show today, and they were talking about the Falcons, and they were saying, well, I don't know if they want to draft Stroud and whatnot because in the Falcons' offense, they're going to be wanting to run the ball and da-da-da-da-da, and he doesn't really fit that landscape of, you know, Stroud's more of a passing quarterback, and they're going to be wanting to run the ball more, so it'll be interesting to see what they do. Blah, blah. And the whole time I'm going, then go get Lamar Jackson! The guy is a running quarterback! God bless.
And after we see the contract,
you can probably con me into getting the ticket to watch the Falcons with Lamar Jackson at that point. But that's it.
If the Falcons have Lamar Jackson, I would put a heavy amount of money they'd win that division.
Oh, they become instant favorites.
Correct.
Because the Bucs are going to suck. Saints aren't going to be that much better.
Panthers are going to be six.
The Panthers are a full rebuild.
Yep.
All right, let's get into tonight's action. As let me pull the scores up here. Here we go. All right, so show you right there what's going on right now. Yankees all over the Angels right now, 5-0. Shohei Ohtani is up with runners on the corner zone, and Mike Trout on deck. So
still no
stay hits. Tuned on that one. That's an interesting one. If he gets a hold of one here, scratch everything I just said about the Yankees starting pitcher.
Unless Aaron Judge robs him again.
Well, Cortez versus Ohtani, it's a lefty-lefty matchup, and the shadows are over the plate. So this is Cortez's. He's in favor. And there's a grounder over to second, 4-3 put out. We'll end the inning, and the Yankees lead at 5-0. He does have a no-hitter going. I thought he did.
Yeah, it was weird how they had first and third. It must have been a couple of walks.
I guess, but no-hitter going into the fourth. Braves had a no-hitter going the other night. I didn't want to mention it, so I put it up on the screen and just told everyone, goes, well, you can see what's going on here, because I didn't want to jinx it. All right, let's go ahead and get into the your locks of the night. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm trying to get on a heater, all two in a row. No, but all jokes aside, I have a strong feeling about this one. Even though I'm not a Draymond Green fan, but I think the Warriors are going to win by 15 plus points tonight and absolutely take it to Sacramento. I don't care about not having Draymond Green. I think Curry's going to go off. I think Thompson's going to go off. I think Poole's going to heat up a huge day. And I'll give the Warriors minus 6. I'll give the points up gladly and take them in a huge blow as my lock.
All right, I'm going out west to San Francisco, where the Mets are going to take on the Giants. Kodai Senga and Sean Manaea are on the hill. And I'm looking at right now, it's a minus 110 for the under 8.5 runs. Give me the under. That should be a low scoring ball game out west. And I really like the under. I mean, I think we're talking about a 3-2 ball game. What is your walk off for the day, sir?
My walk-off is it's one of my favorite days of the year. I'm going to go hang out in the clouds. I'll see you next week.
Bye, man. You have a good rest of your afternoon. And, smoke them if you got them, baby. It's 420. God bless. I remember the days where that mattered to me. All right.
See you next week.
Keep it locked in here on the Key. The Snow Show is next. And then we've got tomorrow, make sure to get your morning started right with the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7-10, noon-2. You've got Rod Peterson Show, 2-3 Sports Beat. We'll be back live 3-5 with the Braves country, and tomorrow night, River Dragon Hockey in the playoffs. We will be back tomorrow. See you live 3-5. Keep it between the ditches, Braves country. Smoke them if you got them.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hey, Braves fans, I'm Mac McGee with Braves Country. We'll be right here on The Key all year long giving you Braves Country baseball, pitch by pitch, inning by inning of your Atlanta Braves. Make sure to catch Braves Country right here on The Key. We go live 3-5. We'll keep you up to date on the upcoming schedule for Braves Country. That's Braves Country HD and Braves Country Baseball right here on The Key.